Welcome and thank you for joining us on the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, where we want to give you tips on staying healthy and even expose common myths about health and aging so you can enjoy a healthier and active life in the amazing South Sound. Brought to you by Dr. Jennifer Penrose, owner of Penrose & Associates Physical Therapy.
Welcome to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast. And today we're going to talk to Dr. Cordes about what you can do during this stressful COVID pandemic time. We are both seeing many patients that are stressed mentally, emotionally, financially, and physically. So it's affecting everybody on so many levels. And people feel like they have no control over their situations. So on this episode, we want to give you things you can do, tips with stress and your immune system. And I just want to be clear, this isn't going to necessarily prevent COVID from happening to you, but that you would have at least a better stance against infection overall and dealing with stress overall. So hopefully you can use these things even in the long run. So we share a common passion for our patients to live a quality life and avoid surgery and pain medication. So we thought teaming together on this podcast would be great to talk about boosting your immune system and practical steps you can put into place during this time. So first of all, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here this morning.
So tell us your journey, like how you became a chiropractor, where you went to school, some experiences that shaped your passion for wellness. So yeah, take off with that.
So I do not have a profound story that became a chiropractor, why I became a chiropractor. There are a lot of people in my class who are like, I was in a car accident and I couldn't move and I went to a chiropractor. Now I can. So that's why I did it. Mine was honestly, I just graduated from undergrad and I couldn't find a job. You know, they do the whole thing like, you need experience. I'm like, what? We were just in school for 4 years. What's going on? What do you mean I need experience? And so that prompted me to look further into continuing my education. And my mom was seeing a chiropractor actually here in Lacey, Washington. And she told me, she's like, why don't you look into that? And so I looked into it and I was like, cool. I was like, you can help people without drugs or surgery. I was like, you can be a doctor. There's all these cool tools. And I went to tour a school in Chesterfield, Missouri. It's right outside of St. Louis. This is a school I went to. And I loved it. And that started my journey with chiropractic. And it was really through school, I would say, when I got to clinic rotation, where it really started to click for me. Because obviously, you know, we're doing basic sciences and so on. But when I was in clinic rotation and I actually saw people getting better without like having to take anything, I was like, okay, this is cool. So that started my journey with it. My passion for wellness kind of ties hand in hand too. I think it's cool, or just very, to me, it's moving to see somebody come in on, they're almost like their last leg. I feel like chiropractic is that, where a lot of people, it's starting to move to the forefront, but a lot of people are like, I've tried everything, I've done everything, now I'm here with you. And so being able to see them, I guess I would say shift, come in where it's like, this is my last hope. If this doesn't work, I don't know what I'm going to do. And seeing their life change and they're like, just being like, okay, this actually works and I'm getting better. I'm getting help. And it's improving the quality of my life, not just my pain. And I'm pretty sure you see this, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, physical therapy is often at the bottom of the food chain. And it is one of those stories sometimes when patients come in and they're like, well, I've done this, and this, and I don't even know if you can help me. Yes. You know, that very story is super common.
Yes. Oh my God. It's so common. My goal is being in practice is trying to shift that narrative. Like, you know, don't let, you know, chiropractic, physical therapy, acupuncture, don't let these things be your last hope.
Right. Or a naturopath.
Absolutely.
Right? They also are like kind of like, oh, maybe I should do that. Maybe we should start with what we're eating.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. So that fuels my passion to just continue on doing what I'm doing and just educating people about chiropractic. I practice in Chicago. So when I first graduated, I practiced in Chicago for a while. And then I did a little stint in Twin Falls, Idaho, of helping somebody build up their clinic. And then I came home about five years ago, and I opened up my practice. I originally started in Seattle, and I was like, don't think I really want the city feel so much. And then I came back to Olympia, and I've been there ever since. And I just recently opened up a practice in Lakewood as well. So,
and you grew up here?
I grew up from age six. My dad was in the military, so we lived in Panama for a while. And then we came here when I was about six. And so from that age to graduate high school. Yeah. And then, yeah, I was gone for a long time. 17 years, just about.
We'll jump into just stress management during this time. So many of us, including myself, and you, I mean, all of us have had to make some kind of adjustments. There's been forms of losses of many kinds. So grieving, losses of not getting together with friends, graduations, travel plans, just usual routines. Our routines are thrown off, and our schedules are not what they were. I think it's important to highlight to everybody that ongoing stress of this nature can make us more susceptible to illness. Our brain sends signals to the endocrine system, and then it releases hormones that gets us ready for emergency situations, but it severely depresses our immunity at the same time. So I have never forgotten this, is that stress... some experts really find that stress is responsible for 90% of illnesses and diseases, including cancer and heart disease. So all these chemical reactions that we trigger by being under stress for a long time is not good. So what are things, I guess, that you're finding that are helping your patients? And I can chime in too, but stress management right now, it's just really difficult.
Like we were talking earlier, I think a lot of people thought, you know, it was only going to last for, 6 months, 3 months, and we'll be back to normal. And I know everybody's tired of saying this, it's the new normal, but it kind of is. And getting into a routine, I believe, is important. I think the number one thing that I have been telling patients is, I think it's important to be aware of your mental health, right? And really focusing on that. And that can be done numerous ways. It could, you know, hey, if your mental health, in order to focus on that, do you need to get out and exercise? You know, do you need to get out and meditate? Do you need to get out and pray? You know, if that's what you like to do, you know, are you watching church? There's so many things that you can do, but I think that's one thing that we don't really realize. I think it's easy for people to understand physical stress happening, but they're not really realizing like the mental or the internal stress that can be happening too. I'm very on top of them of like, you know, hey, get in here and get adjusted, you know, get adjusted, get your body in line, get your nervous system functioning a lot better. So, you know, your nervous system functioning better, you're also feeling better. And then that is that whole trickle effect. I think that's important. I think those are some key things that I have been talking about, you know, just moving, your mental health, and then nutrition, which I know we're going to hit on in a little bit.
Yeah, I think a lot of times right now people are just, you know, they can't go to the gym. And, you know, they're coming here and they're in pain, and some of their pain is a result of them sitting too much, watching or being on Zoom calls, which I think connecting socially is important, and watch, you know, just more sitting in general because they can't go anywhere and do anything. So trying to help them reinvent how to exercise in the new confines of their world.
Yes, yes.
So that's been helping them get a new routine going. And I think that's kind of been the hurdle.
That is a hurdle. Sometimes I just need somebody to show them and be creative. So,
right. You
know, I know on a couple of videos or talking to people, it's just like, you know, if you're on Zoom, set a timer on your phone for you to get up and stretch. Even if you're just doing this simple stretch,
right. Get
up and stretch,
yep.
You know, okay, so we can't really go to the gyms, or I know some gyms are open, or I don't know what's going on with those. I haven't been in one. And I think it's just, like you said, in these new confines, it's like figuring out how do I navigate and how do I move? And sometimes it's just showing them,
right.
Or explaining,
or giving them ideas. Yeah.
Giving them ideas.
Yeah, that book called the Tiny Habits, right?
Oh,
it's a good one.
Okay.
It's just basically, you break it down to the most simple thing,
yes,
that would then get you to do your bigger goal. So if,
yes,
if it's exercise, it's like, okay, what's something that you already do every day?
Yeah.
Okay, so you already, let's say, make your coffee and you have your breakfast, and then that should prompt you of like, okay, I'm going to set a timer And in 30 minutes, I'm going to get up and do exercise, whether that's some sit to stands out of the chair, like the therapy exercises I gave the patient, like just do 10 minutes of that.
That is
set
so
a timer.
Funny.
Yeah. Have something that you do already
that's so funny.
Common in your day.
Absolutely.
That prompts you to go, oh, I need to do that.
It made me think about some of the conversations I would have. If you are waiting for your pasta noodles to boil, do 10 squats right there. You know, do some stretches right there. I've started to, and I know the same thing that you guys are, you know, we give this list of exercises that we want you to do. I may even just circle just one. I'm like, just do this one.
Right.
That's all, like you said, that can just prompt you to be like, all right, I started with this one. Okay, maybe I'll add on to this, but just start with this one and keeping it simple.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, keep it simple. Find a routine you're already doing that prompts you to do just something, but not too much. So yeah, simplicity, that keep it simple, stupid thing,
yeah,
the kiss method still works.
It still does.
I think the other thing is, you know, giving yourself a time limit on watching the media. I think people have heard that, you know, so some of the psychologists out there saying like, limit that, still go to bed on time, still wake up at time, you know, have a schedule, even though you feel like things aren't normal, you know, and, you know, praying, I think, was great. Journaling, deep breathing. I have a prompt that hits me on my watch that tells me to do deep breathing every now and then. And at first,
I'm like,
this is silly. And then I'm like, you know what? I really actually need to do this. So I'm letting my phone or my watch prompt me to breathe, do deep breathing periodically. And I just think it helps kind of remind you of when you do deep breathing, it activates that parasympathetic nervous system and gets the right hormones going and decreases your stress and your cortisol. And I'm like, okay, I know this as a provider.
Yes.
And I'm not even doing it myself. So for all the listeners out there, I am guilty in that. And I run at a pretty high, you know, type A personality. So I have to literally like go, okay, yep, I'm going to sit here and do some deep breathing. I'm going to try to turn on the parasympathetic nervous system for the benefit of my health.
Because
I think some people always feel like they need to be driving and doing and doing and doing. And it's like, yeah, then your cortisol levels are running so high all the time. Your immune system won't be functioning at a good level. And I think once I realized that, I was like, okay, so it is really important for me to actually do the calming things during the day.
I agree with you. I'm a go, 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 go type of person. Like sitting still sometimes, I'm just like, oh, I need to do something. Like this weekend, I didn't do anything. I just sat in the house and it kind of felt weird for me as well. But you're absolutely right with being able to slow down and just breathe. I have a alert on my phone. It's like the Bible verse app on my phone. But same thing you said, I'm guilty of it too. I'm just like, swipe it. I'm like, I'm not going to take the time. I got something to do. I'm like, swipe it. But it's so bad. And so like you said, everybody listening, we go through the same struggles. We're not telling you something that we haven't been through as well. But I like what you hit on as far as stress. I don't like people know stress is bad, and I feel like they know they feel it. Like, you know, they feel it in their neck or their shoulders, but I don't think they really understand how, like, just on a cellular level, right? Because sometimes they're not getting to the science of it, but the cellular level, like what you're saying, how it really, really, really can kill you and affect you. Like over time, like that chronic stress, you know, when you're increasing, like a lot of people have, they talked about like, well, I'm having difficulty losing weight. And they're like, well, I'm trying everything, I'm doing this. And then nobody's really talking about their stress. Well, that's going to keep increasing your cortisol. So how are you going to lose weight? You're going to struggle with that. The other thing that you obviously we're talking about just immunity and just what it's doing on a cellular level within your body. I think that is key for people to know, you know, like if you're wondering why, dang, I always get sick during, you know, this year. And, you know, they attribute it to the cold and flu time. But really, it's like, well, what's going on? You know, what's going on in your life that's constantly making you feel stressed out? So I think like what you hit on was really just key about the importance of managing your stress for real and figuring out what the triggers are.
You know, when I started to realize like every time if I'm always running at that level and those chemicals are flooding my system, I'm you know, the things, like, it decreases the white blood cells, it and what are called NK cells, mm-hmm. and those are special cells that kill cancer. So that then increases the, like, you know, potential for tumor development. I started to really kind of think about, like, I have to schedule almost in my day times to just relax and think and breathe, meditate, and turn on that calming system, because that's not something that's natural for me at all in the slightest. So, but once it was spelled out like that to me, I was motivated to then do something about it. And I think there's a lot of people out there who really are like, oh yeah, stress is bad. Stress. But they don't really, like you said, the cellular level of, like, how it works.
You said something about it earlier, and I know we're hitting on it, but I don't think they really understand, like, well, I'm sick probably because I'm stressed. I can't lose weight because I'm probably stressed. And, you know, we link it to just, it may be something like, oh, it's my job or my family. Yeah, those are stress triggers, but they're not really breaking it down to, like, the tiniest thing of, like, what we can do to improve our health and so on. So I don't know. I think it's good. I'm glad that we are talking about this because it's important.
Hopefully that gives you guys encouragement of, like, all right, everybody needs to find a way to breathe, put in some yoga maybe, or special calming music or journal, something during the day that turns on that parasympathetic nervous system and calms down your cortisol levels. Bring it down.
I would literally go. And like I was telling you earlier, I didn't really feel my stress because I was going. But what would happen is I would actually go on vacation. And at the moment that I decided to relax, that's when everything would just hit me. I would, like, either get sick or, like, you know, I'd be in Mexico and I'd be like, why is this food not sitting well with me? Like, what's happening? And it's because of going and not doing anything to manage during that time. And the moment that I decided to just, my body would just flood with everything that's been dormant for a long time, you know, those symptoms and stuff that I've been ignoring. So learn from me, don't do that.
Yes, I think many of us can relate to that. The other thing to bring up is segue into an anti-stress mineral. And I think people don't always know that magnesium is kind of like the anti-stress mineral. So I think it was fascinating to find out that 50% of us are deficient in magnesium. Like, that blew me away when I was digging into more of just, okay, what other things can affect us from a stress level. It decreases cortisol. So see, we were just talking about that. So I take magnesium at night to help me calm down and to go to sleep better. So it helps with sleep disruption, relaxes your muscles, prevents cramps, decreases anxiety, which when I go to bed, my brain wants to solve the world's problems, apparently.
Yes.
And it helps with bone health. So it was one of those, like, I do not miss my magnesium because I'm one of those people. And then I just thought it was interesting, like, the deficient symptoms, like if you have difficulty with memory and concentration, depression, just irritable, anxiety, insomnia. There was a whole slew of things that were linked to that.
I will tell patients right off the bat, like, even if I didn't do a blood test or anything, like, if you are not taking magnesium, I'm pretty sure you're deficient. I was like, I'm just being honest. I'm pretty sure you're deficient. Because as I'm going through their health history and you're looking at these things, like you were talking about, anxiety, insomnia, constipation, headaches, and then I'm going through and I'm doing a exam and I'm feeling like the hypertonicity or tight muscles or the muscle spasms are going on, and I'm like, they're like, well, I get massages and I do this. I then segue into, well, what's going on nutrition wise? You know, what's going on nutrition wise? And one of the big things is it's the lack of magnesium within their diet. And so I'll talk about that because, you know, magnesium is whole entirely also part of the element that works with the whole contract and relax pump, you know, between sodium and potassium. And so I'll explain to them, you know, hey, I'm pretty sure you're getting enough sodium, right? So it's in everything, especially if you're eating, like, processed and packaged food, right? And then we all know from growing up, I played sports that, yeah, if I cramp up, eat a banana, right? So yeah. We all know about the potassium. But I don't recall growing up anybody talking about magnesium. I think the Vegas, like, they would try to add the electrolytes or something within, like, some type of Gatorade or something crazy. But nobody talked about it. And so I'll explain to them, you know, part of what we're doing here is trying to get your body to relax, like you said, kicking that parasympathetic system. And magnesium is a major player in that. So when we're going through and I'm looking at, oh yeah, your low back is tight or spasm, however you want to say it. On top of that, you have anxiety or you have headaches or
depression
and all these things. Let's start looking into that. And I do think it's important for people not, and I'm going to throw that out as we talk about this. It's good you want to learn from us, but you also want to talk to your provider.
Absolutely.
As well, yeah. To make sure this is something that these supplements are, these nutrition things that we're talking about, works for you.
So some of the sources of magnesium from food are sources that I think many of us don't get enough of. The green leafy vegetables, raw cocoa, nuts and seeds. I don't know if there's anything else that you, those are the kind of big ones that I.
Those are the big ones that I would say too. Those are the big ones I would say.
Yeah. And I think people just, myself included, we just grew up with always having more meat on our plate than we did vegetables. And really the size of meat is supposed to be a deck of cards and the rest of your plate is supposed to be colorful vegetables. And I'm fairly certain the majority of us do not get 10 to 12 servings of veggies a day.
You're absolutely right. We are definitely not.
It's work. It's a lot more planning. You got to go almost every other day to get fresh produce. I mean, it's more work.
It's more work. And I think, it's not funny because I had somebody tell me, she's like, I don't have time to cook. I don't have time to do these things. And, you know, and it's more work, but I don't know. It's like, do you do this now or do you pay for it later?
Right.
You know, do you want to put in the work now or, you know, you're going to end up with all these health issues later on.
Right.
So I'm like, do the work now as much as possible. And like you're saying with the servings, I don't know when that switched. I don't know if that was, I don't want to drop names of the whole chart. So nobody coming back to me and being like, you're talking bad about our chart. But the whole, like, remember that pyramid chart?
The food pyramid. It's a plate now. They've changed it to a plate.
Changed it to a plate. But I'm like, growing up, I'm like, why was this at the top? Like, why was this so important? That's a whole nother subject for a whole nother day. But I can't tell what it is. But what you hit on is we're not getting the servings. But I also think, because I will have pushback with, well, why do I need to take the supplement? Can I just get it in my food? And I will tell them, I'm like, you can. I said, but the likelihood that you're getting the amount of servings is probably slim.
Well, and every day. Like, so I can get 10 to 12 servings of vegetables on days that I'm not so busy, but frankly, it's probably closer to 6.
There
so then go. I supplement because I don't want to not
there
get enough.
There you
but
go.
Then there are days where I'm like, oh, did pretty awesome on Saturday and Sunday, and now we're back to the crazy.
And there you go. And then I'll say the same thing too with them. With that is, unless you're juicing or drinking smoothies all the time, you're still probably not getting enough of the nutrients. And then on to add to that, unless you know exactly where your food is coming from, and that's a whole subject too for another day. It's probably nutritional dense, like, you know, from the farm to the table, it's already lost some of its nutritional benefits.
Right, because harvesting that fruit before it's actually really ripe and have its nutrients to get to the grocery store.
Yes.
However, if you have the time and you're committed in buying it from the local farms,
yes.
You know, then that's going to get you more value in your nutrients. And so I try to do that, but there are some times where I have to just swing in.
No.
I have to swing into
absolutely
a larger chain place.
No,
and
me too.
That stuff I know is not as potent for nutrients.
Hence is why we do the supplementation, because we absolutely I mean, we're 100%, like you said, it's going to be hard. We know we're busy. And this is not to make anybody feel bad for what you're doing. We're just trying to let you know that we too struggle with this as well. And we're just letting you know. But you're absolutely right. This is why it's like we're talking about it's important to add the supplementation and right. a quality one.
Yeah. Yeah. Not
quality supplementation.
Yeah, it's a whole nother. Yeah. It's the wild, wild west when it comes to supplements.
I'm like not going to name names of where not to get them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But talk to your providers. Yes. Figure out where a quality place to get it is from. Exactly. Anyway, yeah, I think it's helpful for people to at least know for magnesium, you know, aim to get at least 2 servings of vegetables with every meal and a couple, some fruit, but at the same time, acknowledge where it's coming from and if you need to add more to that and check with your provider team on if supplements would be needed. So we're going to take a quick break here to hear a word from our sponsor.
As a listener to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, we are offering a free balance and fitness screening in the month of October in honor of National Physical Therapy Month. To take advantage of this balance and fitness screening with Penrose Physical Therapy, contact us at 360-456-1444. That's 360-456-1444. Or online at penrosept.com. And now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to our podcast. So we're going to pick up on continuing on some mineral nutrition things for immunity. And zinc, many people are familiar with zinc, right? Like the coldies and the Zicam and the zinc with colds.
Yep.
So people are there. I think people are aware that zinc is something they reach for when they get sick. So really, you want to kind of be ahead of that. So people that are deficient in zinc, there's a significant risk factor for development of pneumonia, which is a consequence of the COVID-19, right? And just really you're more susceptible to infections in general. So it helps with a huge amount of roles in the body, including a function of over 300 enzymes. I remember when I learned that, I was like, wow, okay. The body needs zinc to carry out normal metabolism and ensure proper function of reproductive, cardiovascular, and nervous system. So it's pretty important. And then I thought it was fascinating too that like in a 2-year study, they looked at 16,000 people and only 26% of them got enough zinc. So we're kind of low on the zinc in terms of where they can get zinc besides taking so there's supplement versions, right? But other foods that they can get it in. I've always thought of, like, I just think of animal products in general. Beans.
Yeah, beans, nuts, seeds.
Nuts, that's right. Yep. I try to snack on nuts and seeds.
So do I.
Yeah,
I do.
That's my go. I'm like, try to replace a snacking habit of other stuff with nuts.
What is your favorite? Do you have a combination of them?
I like cashews and I like almonds.
And almonds?
Yeah.
You know what's a really good one? Brazilian nuts? They're good. They're big. But yeah, that's a good
Brazilian
one.
Brazilian nuts.
Brazilian nuts.
The phytates in vegetables and grains can help reduce... they can help with the
absorption
of zinc. So they do think that vegetarians and vegans may need more zinc in their diet just because they're not getting the animal products, right? But some of my vegan people, like they have beans with almost every single meal, right? Like it's their protein source. It's an antioxidant, the zinc. So I feel like I kind of wonder if you counted up all the beans that some of my friends eat. Like, I'm like, I think they're probably okay. But so it is one of those, like, I always think of animal products, but then the nuts for zinc.
When this whole pandemic, COVID started, again, this does not prevent COVID. This was something that I jumped on with everybody. I sell it in my clinic as a supplement form, capsule form, but there are versions of it. There's liquid, there's so on. And same thing that we talked about as far as where you can get the food. I explained this is important. Like, you know, it is a vital role in, like you're saying, in your immune system, your health. So I was like, take this. Be preventative to start. It's something you don't have to wait to take before you. And honestly, it works better. So research shows that when you start to have colds, which is so backwards, right? Because a lot of times when we have a cold, we do reach for it. And we're just like, oh my God, it's going to help me.
Give me my zinc.
Yeah, give me my zinc. But what I don't think a lot of people know that there is research that shows that it's less effective when you're already showing symptoms.
Correct.
It's less effective to work when you're already in that stage. And so getting ahead of it, just like we talked about with stress, getting ahead of it is important. And it is something that you can take on a regular basis, but you might just have to change up the dosage amount, right, just depending on who you are.
Well, and it has an anti-inflammatory effect, and so many of my patients are inflamed. So there are other benefits to it for sure. The vitamin D. Now, here's another one where 50% of us are deficient in vitamin D. And then being in the Pacific Northwest where it's cloudy a lot. So if you're deficient, the symptoms can cause muscle weakness, intensify bone loss, increase fracture risk. It's linked to chronic pain. And I know you and I both see people like we're the last stop sometimes. So chronic pain is alive and well. And then the recurring vertigo, BPPV. So those things, if you're deficient... and then they've linked it. I thought it was interesting. They have linked it with several cancers, breast and colon, type 1 diabetes, MS, high blood pressure, thyroid. So really, I mean, vitamin D is something you want to pay attention to. And it's also been used to treat infections too. So they are, it is kind of a, it almost functions more like a hormone.
It is. It is a hormone. And so it is in that category and it does function like that. So like we've been saying before you like jump into just taking it, this may be something that you would want to ask your provider to
for a blood test.
To blood test to see where you're at in it. But it is vital. I talk to a lot of my patients, same thing. Like you said, I'm like, hey, we live in the Pacific Northwest. That's like already one strike against us. So we're probably deficient. And the more melanin in your skin, so the darker pigmentation of your skin, the more more likely that you are already deficient in it too. So I will meet a lot of people. I'm just like, have you ever took vitamin D ever in your life? And they're like, no. I'm like, you're already deficient. You're already deficient in it. I usually start them off with 5,000 IUs daily. A lot of people think that's a lot, but
that's what I take every day.
That's what I take every day too.
Well, I also did a gene snip, you know, where they do you swab the inside of your cheek. Uh-huh. And can find out some genetic markers.
Okay.
And I had a couple of the genes where I don't do like, whatever, make the vitamin D or whatever.
Even when you're out in the sun, you're not making it.
Correct. Oh. And so I'm like, well, let me get a blood test to validate that. And sure enough, I was at the very low end of the normal range, which I don't know why they say 20 to 50 is, you know, when you get down below 30, like to me, that's not acceptable.
I agree.
Yeah.
I was just talking to my naturopath about those ranges. It's nice to have the range, but I also think it's interesting how we'll tell somebody, oh, you're fine. And they're like, literally like
at right the bottom.
At the bottom. They're like, you haven't hit below that. I'm just like, or they clinically have symptoms of stuff, but they're like, well, your test says you're fine. So I don't know.
Well, they've done some cross, you know, multiple cross-sectional studies with lower vitamin D levels. And they did find, so this is with 19,000 people between 1988 and 1999, and those with the lower vitamin D levels of less than 30 nanograms per milliliter were more likely to self-report a recent upper respiratory tract infection than those with sufficient levels. So even after adjusting for variables such as season, age, gender, body mass, and race. So that's why I'm like, you really want to be up in that 40 category and higher. And that's kind of what the literature supported. If you really kind of look at some of the ones that did better, the ones that had 40 and higher, they had less upper respiratory infections. So, and these were big size studies. This one that I'm talking about had 800 military recruits in a Finland study and looked at vitamin D levels, and the ones that did well or had less respiratory infections were the ones at 40 and above. So, I mean, you really don't want to be on that low end of normal. And even when you get any lab results back,
right,
and you're on the low end of the normal range, you should really start thinking like, well, what would be better for me?
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it is one of those like ranges are nice, but I think vitamin D, the evidence is out there that you really should be higher.
That made me think about when you were talking about ranges and the testing and blood work and all that stuff. I also think it's important because I'm pretty sure you may get this. I get this too. They're like, well, I took this and it didn't work and blah, blah, blah. Or I took this for a while and I didn't notice a difference. That's a whole nother subject, right? Because some people, you may not, like you were saying with the gene marker that you did, you may not be able to process a certain type of vitamin D, which hence is even more important for you not to just go and just grab something off the shelf. You know, you do need to talk to your provider or whoever, just do some research on that. Because again, vitamin D does kind of act as a hormone.
And where you're getting your supplements and the quality of that company and whether they are third party tested. You don't want to just take anything because you want to be able to, you want that your body to break it down and process it and then for you to absorb it. So it does matter what you're taking, you know, where you're getting it, how you're taking it, and then repeating the blood test later on to see if it's effective. So it's one of those, yeah, definitely kind of have to do a little bit of digging there and work with your provider teams on what to take versus just taking anything.
Yes.
And then vitamin C. Everybody knows about vitamin C, but again, this is one of those where everybody's like, I'll take 1,000 milligrams because I'm feeling ill.
Yes.
And it's like, let's probably try and get our levels. Not that you need to have high levels all the time, but you do want to kind of be more consistent. Yeah. So it's one of those where I'm like, they found that supplementing with vitamin C appears to both prevent and treat respiratory and systemic infections. So it's one of those, it optimizes things. So it's, I think if people are looking for ways to optimize their immunity, something to consider.
There's things that you can do to optimize your immune system. And we're not talking about that enough. And I feel like that circles, and hopefully I'm not getting off topic, but circles back to what we originally were talking about. Like, what are we putting in place for stress management? And we were talking about, you know, tools and things that they can do, like meditation, exercising, and so on. But this made me think about one thing I think a lot of people struggle with is feeling out of control. Feeling like they can't control something, like, oh, it's out of my control. I don't know what to do. I got to do this. I got to wear this mask. I got to work from home. And I think if you can focus on the things that you can control, that will help significantly lower your stress and that will help boost your immune system, which goes into what we have been discussing. Everything that we've been talking about are things that you can control. You know, you can control your...
You can come up with a plan.
Yeah,
you
a plan.
Execute
absolutely,
the plan.
And execute the plan. Like taking your zinc, taking your vitamin D, taking your vitamin C, putting these are things that you can control, which will help you over time.
Right. Well, and to circle back to one of your opening comments was like mental health, like controlling your thoughts on... What can I control? What do I have control over today, right now?
And your health.
Yep.
Right?
Well, and that's kind of, I've tried to highlight that to people. I'm like, okay, so COVID's taken a lot of things away, but you have all this kind of time, if you will, at home. Like you can take the time to really get on a good plan for eating or figure out a different exercise routine. But like there is like some element of like, it forces you to like, kind of really, I mean, look at your, we're not having to travel as much because we can't.
Right. Absolutely.
So there's some saving time somewhere.
There you go. Absolutely. I have also been talking to my patients about plant-based. I'm not against meat. I eat meat. I eat fish, all that stuff. I have been talking about just plant-based, just for the simple fact of like, we do see chronic inflammation. And when we've honestly, when we discuss in adding these supplements and like magnesium, vitamin D, all these things, but then you're turning around and sometimes you're eating like a crappy diet. And it's not to say that meat is, but if all your life and you've never given yourself a break, I will talk to them about, you know, why don't you just do plant-based for about, you know, 30, 60 days, kind of just reset your body. Cause that is a way to just purify and detox the body. I think that's also important during this time, even before this time, like it's something maybe twice a year or quarterly. I know a few people that do it every quarter. We offer, it's through Standard Process. It is a purification program. It's a 21 day one. And a lot, again, you don't have to do this, but the reason why we offer one that has supplements is because it's geared towards cleansing the small intestine, the large intestine, and the liver. So there's certain supplements that go into cleansing and purifying that, that works on that.
Don't get nervous. When we talk of cleanse, it's not like getting ready for a colonoscopy. Yes.
I'm so glad you said that, because that is so funny, because a lot of people think like, they're like, cleanse and detox. Am I going to be running to the toilet? I'm like, no, this is really, it's not like that. It's such a gentle thing. You're just really just trying to purify your body. And either that is, it's either coming through like sweat, urine, you know, there's different waste products, but you're not going to be running to the toilet or have to be at home. That is so funny. I'm glad you said that.
It's immediately what people think of, though. They're like, I know what that means,
right?
If they've had a colonoscopy.
Exactly.
Well, and that
is
brings
that one in the same.
I mean, this is a little bit of kind of another rabbit trail, but you know, same similar concept, just intermittent fasting. You know, if that's quarterly, where you kind of give your whole system that break for a few days, because you can do it. It really isn't as hard as people think. I mean, if you can drink bone broth throughout the day and lots of liquid and lemon water, and you can still have coffee. So you can do it.
Yeah, you can do it. You can even start off with 12 hours. You know, the key, I think with the adrenals, I think it's 14, 16 or 16, 18, right? But no, you're absolutely right. Intermittent fasting is a good way to reset your adrenals, which then ties into cortisol, which ties into stress and so on. So it is something I think we should do more of.
Yeah.
We eat a lot.
We all eat a lot. Everything's around food, man. And if we skip a meal, we think we're going to die.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it is. It is one of those. I found it to be really helpful to do quarterly for myself. So that's been a good thing. And I thought it would be more, I really thought it would be harder than it was. So
did I. It's not that hard. I think maybe because you're busy.
I don't want to do it on a weekend. I will confess. I will do it during the work week. So if I had to be at home, not so sure about how successful I would be. So let's just recap some of the highlights that we pointed out for people. So we talked about just, you know, get a hold of those mental thoughts and try to think about what you can control.
Yes. Yes. What you can control. What's a lot. It's a lot. There are a lot of things that are within your control.
What's amazing, what you focus on, that just your whole outlook for the day can go sideways, man. So kind of come back to some simple basics on that, and then getting a routine and doing things in small stages, tiny habits. And think of practical times of when to set a timer to do exercises. Plan out your meals if you can ahead of time.
Yes.
And then in terms of the vitamin D, vitamin C, and zinc, and working with your providers and figuring out, you know, where are you on some of those levels and what could you do just for overall stress and immune system. So yes, we're talking about this because of the COVID pandemic, but at the same time, it'll set you up for long-term success. All right. What is your number one tip for people staying healthy? Your one thing.
As a chiropractor, I'm just going to have to say, get adjusted. I think a lot of times people think chiropractic is just about back pain, neck pain, and pain, but it's more than that. It's absolutely more than that. Your body has an innate ability to heal itself, right? It doesn't need anything from us. It can heal itself. And as chiropractic, really, when you get down to the nitty gritty, that is what we're trying to do. We're trying to restore function to the body by working on your nervous system, and your nervous system controls everything within your body. I know we get sidetracked because it's like, oh, I'm going to go there because I'm in pain. But reality, you getting adjusted, you're helping to boost your immune system, which then is working on those T cells, which are those fighter cells for your immune system. So I'm gonna have to say that getting adjusted. There's other things, but that would be the number one thing. I'd feel bad if I didn't say that.
As a not true to who you are.
Right. Yes.
And then as always, we like to wrap up things like what is on your bucket list to do in the Pacific Northwest that you haven't done yet, that you're like, I will do this one day. Just haven't, either you haven't had the time or haven't had the opportunity.
You know what? Actually, growing up here, I've done a lot, but I can't say I've actually floated the river, any of the rivers here. Huh. Whitewater rafting, done several times. Kayaking, canoeing, boating, but I don't think I've floated any of the rivers. I think that would be nice to do. That would be on my bucket list. And maybe to one of the mountains. I'm not trying to like peek it or scale it, but maybe just hike it. I feel like I went to Mountain Rainier when I was a kid, but it's been a while, so I'll probably add that on there.
What is your favorite restaurant these days? Who should we support right now?
I know,
during
I feel
this
so bad, you put me on the spot. There are so many local restaurants to support. I'm pretty sure the Chamber has a list of restaurants that you can support. I don't necessarily have a favorite one because I haven't really been out. And the one takeout
or something like that.
Oh, I'm trying to even think. I haven't really done any takeout these days. The one that I really like, it's in Tacoma. It's closing down. I'm so sad. Dillinger. I'm trying to think. What's your favorite?
I really like Gardner's downtown.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
Yeah, they're good. That's probably my top favorite restaurant to go to. I like Jean-Pierre's 316 Bistro. Yep. They're doing outdoor seating, at least recently. They're just open two nights a week on the weekend. So Friday and Saturday night outside. So I don't know what they'll do when the weather, like obviously with the smoky conditions, and I don't know what they're doing,
what they're
coming
doing
up with
that.
The weather. I'm sure they'll just space more tables out, but they have fantastic food.
There's this Mexican restaurant. I feel so bad. I can't remember the name. It is downtown and I believe it's off of 4th, and it's not Ramirez. I would have to look it up, but I know there's two that are downtown, but this one's really, really, really good. I don't know. Maybe we'll add it in your, I forget what it's called.
Juan.
Maybe. No. I feel like it starts with a J.
I'm forgetting it, but I think I know what you're talking about. They have more than one location, I think.
I think so. Yeah. Maybe. I was like, when I went there, I was like, ooh, that's really good.
Yeah,
but
good food.
No, I haven't really got any delivery or ate out.
What is your favorite outdoor activity in the Pacific Northwest that you think everyone should go do, experience at some point? Or, I mean, this can be simple too, like even just walking the Nisqually Trail out there, you know?
So. I think that you took the words right out of my mouth. We have the ability to, I think we have a lot of different things as far as we have the water, we have the mountains, we have the trails, and you have opportunity to do all of that. I think just getting outside and being with nature is important. Grounding is important, right? There's a lot of research. So I feel like we could start a whole nother podcast with that. But there's a lot of research between just being outside with nature, and I'll leave it at that.
Yes.
We spend a lot of times inside, and innately, I think we need to be outside more.
Where can people reach you and find out about you? So if there's a website, phone number, social media handles, any of those things.
Absolutely. So I have all of that. I will start with the website. The website is www.phoenixrisingwc.com. That is our website. It has both locations on there. I'll give you the main clinic number. It's 360-728-0315. That's for our Olympia location. Social media handles are, it's just Phoenix Rising WC. So at Phoenix Rising WC. is where they can reach me. I also have my own podcast too that I'm starting up, but this one is called, it's Your Lifestyle Curator. And it's really just about curating the life that you want, you know, not falling into society's norms for your life. So that's streaming on all platforms.
Okay. So you're on Twitter, Facebook, Insta.
Yes, ma'am.
YouTube.
Yeah, there is a YouTube. Okay. I used to do this cooking with the doc. So there's probably more. Those are more on YouTube.
All right. Well, thanks so much for having me.
And I enjoyed it.
Thank you to our listeners for listening. And we are thinking of all you guys getting through all this hard time. So reach out if you need anything.
Absolutely. Right. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, brought to you by Penrose and Associates Physical Therapy. If you want some free tips to implement right away on various problems like knee pain, back pain, running injuries, and many more issues, then jump on over to penrosept.com and download the free report that fits your needs. You will receive helpful tips right away and have the choice to email in for further questions and set up a free phone consultation. You can reach us at 360-456-1444 and info@penrosept.com. You can stay connected with us at stayhealthysouthsound.com and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast.